All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, June 3rd of 2024. Looking ahead, we have an 8-game MLB main slate tonight, and that is it for tonight. But we do have the NBA Finals starting this week on Thursday here, and they're going to have a big Millie Maker contest. So I know they've been running satellites for that since probably the beginning of the year. So I'll bet a lot of you guys have some tickets and are looking forward to that contest. So good luck. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. I can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. But it is Monday here. So we do have to announce the winners for our birdie battle from golf this weekend. In case you guys aren't familiar with it, we've been running this golf promotion all summer here. Our grand prize is going to be two tickets to next year's 2025 Masters in Augusta. So participate and get in on the action so you can take advantage of the prizes. We have season-long prizes, weekly prizes as well. I dropped the link to this page in the description of this video. And as far as our prizes go, we have to announce the top finisher for this week and give away tickets to next week's contest here. So top finisher for this week, drum roll please, was none other than Wise Guy Locks, taking down second place with 608.5 points. So close to that first place prize. Congratulations to Wise Guy. He's going to get a custom SaberSim golf hat and then an entry into our end of the season Masters free roll. And then from this page, I've grabbed all the names of everybody who participated and play and maxed out the birdie contest for the Canadian Open. Drop them into our trusty wheel of names here. Looks like we had 82 people participate. So I'm going to click shuffle a couple of times here. And then we are going to spin to see who gets a free entry into next week's contest. So looks like the winner is... That's on winning here. So let me just get this name in here. Pat. The hat. I think it was two, right? Check that out. Oh, Pat the hat. No underscore at the end here. Pat the hat two. Congratulations to the winners for this week. Our support team will reach out to you and let you know and help you to claim your prizes. And I hope to see you guys all back for the Memorial. We are about halfway through here. We are 7 weeks through. And there are 14 weeks in this challenge. So keep up the good work, everybody. US Open is right around the corner, and it's going to be a fun summer of golf here. All right. With that said, going to get SaberSim pulled up here, and we're going to jump into our regularly scheduled office hours, start knocking out some of these questions. All right. So we got Office Hours up here, got SaberSim up, and we are going to hit our first question, which it looks like came in from last call earlier this morning. All right, question says, if I change a player's projection in MLB when there is an update, will that change said player to whatever the projections have become, or will it keep what I had put in? Okay, good question. So let's say that, you know, Zach Wheeler... And let's say that, you know, projections run at some point today and Zach Wheeler's projection goes from 21 to say 23. Well, the builder is going to keep your projection at 25 regardless of what happens. So what we never want to do is override the work that you've done. So in this case, if he's at 21 and a sim runs that puts him to 23, well, if you put him to 25, we are not going to bump that to 27 to account for that difference. We are just going to leave it at 25. So that is the way that works. All right. Question from Black Spurs. Question says, what is the best strategy for two-game slates in MLB? Okay, good question. Let's see if we have one here. Okay, so there's a couple tonight, right? Turbo and a night slate. So let's jump over to the night slate. And I'll say one thing that, you know, as the number of games on a slate goes down, you're going to move closer and closer to needing an optimal lineup to win. Now, I don't think you're going to need an optimal lineup to win in MLB DFS two-game slate here, but you're going to be closer, right? Like, if you don't have the one guy who hits, you know, two home runs, well, it's going to be pretty hard to overcome that on a two-game slate. So I think one thing that, you know, you're going to see most often with these smaller slates is you might end up seeing some smaller stacks, right? And then one thing that I'm willing to do here on a two-game slate is I'm willing to leave off this don't use batters against opposing pitchers. You know, this is what stops you from playing, you know, a Fernando Tatis against the Angels pitcher, right? Like, you normally wouldn't play Tatis against Tyler Anderson because they're so negatively correlated. But in a slate like this, in a small two-game slate, well, you know, Tyler Anderson throws five innings and gives up one run. Well, if that one run was a solo home run to Tatis, like, hey, you know, you might be okay with having both of them in the same lineup, right? So I'm leaving this default rule off here for two game slates. Another thing here is that, you know, min salary drops way down, right? 44,000 here. Like, I think on our normal slates, it's like 48,000, 49,000 on some of these bigger slates. So I'm totally okay with this. I think that, you know, opening up your salary bands here is a very, very good idea. And then let's just like run a build here, right, on this two game slate and see what it looks like. But I'm mostly interested in like, hey, what kind of stacks are we seeing on a small two game slate like this? I'd say, you know, also one other thing to point out here, which we might see this right now, is be conscious of whether or not you have relief pitchers in your lineups for these small slates here, right? So like if I come in here, sort by exposure, doesn't look like I have any here, but if I come and sort by pool, well, hey, you know, Ryan Walker, relief pitcher, we have him in about 4% of our lineups, right? So if I were to open this up from 20 lineups to 150 to 200, you know, I might end up getting some of those. So I would say, you know, be conscious of whether or not, one, you want to play relief pitchers at all. And then two, you know, if you don't, I would probably just set like a projection filter. Say, you know, show players with projection greater than, you know, 4, and then only leave the pitchers checked. That way you get rid of just the relief pitchers. Or if you're actually okay with playing relief pitchers, you know, maybe it's like a high scoring slate and like there's not really anybody who you would consider like that good of a pitcher on the slate. Well, hey, maybe you're okay taking some salary relief and you want to play some relief pitchers. Well, then I would say do a little extra research to be aware of like, we talk about this for MLB Showdown, like, hey, what pitchers pitched yesterday? Which ones are more likely to be available today? Which ones haven't pitched in a couple days? And possibly even make some projection adjustments on a team-by-team basis for the relief pitchers to make sure that, you know, you're getting guys, you're leaving guys in your available player pool that have a likely chance of pitching. So that's also, you know, a pretty interesting strategy, right? Like taking some salary relief here, spending it up on some batters or something like that. But as far as, you know, two game slates go, those are like the big things that I'm thinking about. And then I did want to look at our stack exposures. So still getting a lot of 5-3s, 5-2s, some 4-4s. So I would say that, you know, this is like pretty in line with what we see regularly here. So nothing to say that, you know, you can't five stack on a two game slate here. All right. Question from Larson, and it looks like two questions here. We're going to hit these one at a time. Question says, Andrew, I play some 3-max and single entry on FanDuel. I often create one build for the size contest, 1K to 10K, for example, and generate 5 lineups for that size under one build to accommodate my big three max and my two single entry contest. Should I create individual builds for each contest? I find it hard to get diversification if I do that. Okay, good question. I'm totally fine building all, you know, five of these lineups in the example that you gave together here. One thing that I would do is that whatever contest is your biggest contest, I don't know if the single entry is bigger, I don't know if one of the three maxes are bigger or what, but when you do your build settings, always set up your build settings to the contest that is the biggest, right? Like if you are optimizing your lineups for a small contest, well, then those lineups are not going to have as much upside, and maybe they're not, they don't have the ability to go and win one of the bigger contests, right? But if you're doing the opposite, if you're optimizing for the biggest contest, you're building the lineups with the most upside, well then, hey, you know, in that case, those lineups can win those smaller contests. It might be a little bit overkill, but those lineups still are going to have enough upside to win those contests. So that's what I would be doing there. And then second part of the question. Also, when late news breaks for MLB for quick swap of an individual player, should I select best available or best from same team to accommodate a potential stack versus just best player? Okay, good question. We really recommend for MLB, if you're going to be quick swapping, to use the best from the same team. This just keeps your stacks intact. Correlation is so important that, you know, using best from same team is our preferred recommendation here for MLB, but good clarification. All right, next question here in the Discord. Really quickly here, Jay, we are going to get to your questions here. We just knocked through all of the questions that came in earlier in the Discord, and then we jump over to the live YouTube chat. So I will be getting to your questions here. I'll get to all the questions before the end of the show, as always. All right. Next question here. What benefits does late swap have for MLB on slates like today where games start at different time intervals? How would you recommend using it? Okay, so let's go back to the main slate here for today. And times are pretty spread out, right? 340, 345, 407, 505. Personal thing is like, I am not late swapping between 340 and 345 or even 340 and 407 for that matter, unless there's like somebody gets scratched or some lineup wasn't released and I have players that were out previously. So what I like to do is I like to give the game like a little bit of time to play. So like I wouldn't run a late swap until this 505 period where, you know, like at least like an hour has passed. And then if I do it before 5:05, I might not do the next one until either like the 5:40 window or even probably the 6:40 window. So just, you know, giving the games like a little bit of time to play out so those live actual scores come in, those live projections get updated, and then I'm able to further optimize my lineups from there. But I mean, in my opinion, like 20 minutes into a game, I don't think that you're going to have enough relevant info. But, you know, an hour into a game, you know, things might be happening there that allow you to, you know, somebody hits a home run, pitcher has, you know, six strikeouts. You know, there's a lot of things that can develop that will be enough information for you to further optimize your lineups. So I'm probably doing like a 505 window, maybe 540, and then the 640 for sure at the end of the night, just trying to optimize the best we can. So that's what I would recommend as an example for tonight. All right, question from FV. Question says, when building multiple lineups, will the builder create some lineups that are purposely hedged against a player that it gives you a lot of exposure to in a 20 or 150 max where you max enter? For example, if you have 65% exposure to a pitcher, will it create lineups that use opposing batters in the event that the pitcher underperforms? Okay, good question. So the answer is no, it doesn't exactly do that. What is happening when we're building lineups, right, is we are randomly picking a certain number of sims from each game on the slate and using that set of sims to create a slate simulation. And then we take the average score that the player scores from that set and use that as their actual fantasy points and then build the best lineup from there. So for example, we might take five game sims from the Milwaukee Philly game, right? We're going to take five game sims from every game on the slate. Well, you know, Zach Wheeler might score 10 in one, 30 in the other, you know, 30, 30, and 10, right? And that equals like 80, divide that by five. You know, that's about 16 fantasy points, right? So in this slate simulation, Zach Wheeler scored 16 fantasy points on average. And then that is the score we would assign him when evaluating all the players and then building the best available lineup. Well, that was only for lineup one. When we go and do lineup two, we're going to go grab five new sims. Maybe in these five new sims, he scores 40 points in all of them. And now his score is 40. And, you know, the builder is more likely to put him into that lineup. And then the next time you run it for lineup three, he gets 10 points in all five, you know, just for like simplicity. So then now he gets 10 points, right? But maybe, you know, Milwaukee does really good, which is why he got such a low score. So depending on what, you know, random sims the builder is grabbing each and every time can determine whether or not a player gets into the lineup, whether or not we stack a certain team one way or another, right? So that's what's happening here. It's not intentionally doing anything. It is just a, you know, the exposures that you get are a product of those randomly sampled sims each time you run a build. All right. Good question there. Next question here from Wolfpack. Don't think I've seen a video that covers the aggregate metric that you can set up after you build lineups. Can you explain some of the uses for it to help you get better? Yeah, absolutely. So I have this build. I ran it a little bit earlier. Actually, no, let's jump back to our night slate. I think I did a build. Okay, so I have this night slate one. So what the aggregate metrics do is this little calculator button next to the sorting metrics. Really what it does is it allows you to understand the characteristics of the lineups that you choose to play. So a good example is like, say I want to know what the sum projection of my lineups are, right? I'm sorry, I want to look at the average, not the sum. Average projected score. So what it's going to do, it's going to look at all 20 lineups that you're playing and say, hey, you know, if I look at the average of these 20 lineups, the average is about 85 points. Well, now, you know, let's say I want to use Mini Neeks, right? Well, I want to understand, hey, what effect does Mini Neeks have on the average projection of the lineups that I choose to play? Well, if I bump up Mini Neeks to five, that's going to take me down to lineup 381. And, you know, lo and behold, like the average projection didn't really change that much. It went from like 85.4 to 85.2. So the builder is doing a good job of maintaining a high average projection while diversifying your lineup set, which is really cool to see. Now you could use other things like we could come in here and say, hey, what is the average salary? Maybe you're playing, you know, NBA Showdown or MLB Showdown, and you want to say, hey, you know, what kind of salary am I using in my lineups, right? And on this two game slate, you know, I'm looking at my top 20 lineups, it's like 45,000. And then when I bump it up to five mini neeks, it goes from 44.9 to 45.2 about here. But this might be really impactful for NBA Showdown, right? Like, okay, hey, the average salary of my lineups is like 49,700. You know, that's kind of a lot of salary. You know, maybe my risk of being duplicated is very high across my portfolio. So it just allows you to look at your lineups in like a snapshot, you know, kind of closer to like what Contest Flashback allows when you come into like a past contest and you're able to see, you know, the more like lineup characteristics or like the portfolio characteristics. You're able to see your sim average score, your average dupes and things like that. You know, it's kind of giving you some of that information pre-build to allow you to make sure you're comfortable with a zoomed out view, like a little bit of a macro of your portfolio of lineups. All right. Next question here. Last question in the Discord, and then we'll jump over to the YouTube chat. Is there a counter that would tell me the number of players in my pool as I go on checking / unchecking players? So pre-build, there is not a available player pool number, but after you run a build, When I go to Mini Leagues of One here, it says all 28. So right now there's 28 players in my player pool in my 20 lineups. But then when I go to Mini Leagues of Five, that number goes up to 40. So then now, you know, across my 20 lineups with Mini Leagues of Five, I have 40 players in it. So there isn't a way to see that pre-build. If you wanted to, what you could do here is download the, I'll just show this real quick. Pull up my screen. All right. Download the table on the home screen. If you're on the Pro or Ultimate plan, you have the ability to do that. Pull up the CSV download, and then you can just drag the names here. So like, I'm going to stop at players with a projection, right? I mean, I might even go like a little bit higher, like maybe, you know, I only want to see position players and starters. So I'm going to leave out all the relief pitchers. And when I go from the top to the bottom, there's 40 players in the player pool here. So interesting, at Mini Leagues of Five, we're using every player in the player pool at least one time here. So that is an easy way to check how many available players there are. That's something I'll do like for golf. If I want to, you know, see how many golfers are in the field, it's like, oh, there's 156 golfers this week. Oh, this week there's 89 golfers. That's an easy way to quickly check to see what your starting player pool is. And then even if you want to, like, you know, put some type of filter on, like, okay, maybe I want to see how many golfers there are above, you know, 40 fantasy points. You could do that in Excel and just put a filter on the My Projection column, filter out the players that are below the threshold, and then, you know, select the names again and then see what the new number is. All right, jumping over to the YouTube chat. Question from Jay. How many mini leagues is best for a 150 mini max? So there's not a right answer here. And the reason for that comes down to a couple things. Mini Leagues is always going to depend on the number of players in the player pool, right? Like, we're looking at that two-game night slate. There's only 40 players in the player pool. Mini Leagues of Five was probably the max that we could do there. Well, if I'm doing a larger slate, like this big eight-game slate, you know, I'm going to be able to get to a bigger number of Mini Leagues because there's more players in the player pool. Second thing that's going to matter is how many lineups you're building. Are you building 500 lineups? Are you building 5,000 lineups? Are you building 1,500 lineups? So that is also going to matter when you are using your Mini Leagues value here, right? But ultimately, in my opinion, the Mini Leagues is a tool that allows you to account for risk management. It's a good risk management tool here. And one thing that I like to do personally is I like to come in here, sort by leverage after I run my initial build. And then I just like to increase the mini leagues and watch how the exposures and the leverages change. And for some people, you know, a mini leagues of one is going to be fine to match their risk tolerance, right? But maybe for me, you know, having 70% exposure to any one hitter is just way too many, right? So I'm going to start to increase this. You know, I'm going to go from one mini leak to four to seven, and I'm going to see, you know, how far down in my pool that takes me. And then I'm going to see how these exposures change, right? So I had a mini leaks of seven. My last lineup is lineup 524. In this build that I have here, I have 5,000 lineups. So I still have a ton of wiggle room here, and my batter exposures have gone down from 70% to the highest exposed batter now being 35%. And then my highest leverage went from like 54% down to about 15%, right? So some people, you know, they log in, they see one mini unique, they see the leverages and exposures, and it doesn't bother them at all, right? They're okay with super leveraged lineups, super big stands, boomer bust type of, you know, slate approaches. And then some people come in and they're like, whoa, you know, that's just way too much risk. I would never want to have, you know, 70% of any one batter. I want to get more spread out. I want to, you know, play all these different teams and take a little bit flatter approach, right? So Mini Leagues allows you to find, to organically adjust exposures to a level that matches your risk tolerance. So play around with the number, watch how the leverages move, watch how the exposures move, and then settle on the number that makes you comfortable, right? Like, when you go to submit your lineups, you should be like, hey, you know, regardless of what happens, I am good with these lineups. They look good, they feel good, and I'm happy rooting for them for the rest of the night. So that's my advice there. All right. Next question. For 8-game slates, should I change the stack exposures to only 5-2, 5-3, since 5-2 is higher percentage, has a higher percentage of happening? So when I come in here, you know, I look at my stack exposures, you know, I'm seeing about 40% 5-3s, 35% 5-2s, 8% 5-stacks, and then even some 4-stacks here, right? So I don't love the idea of coming in here and Xing out any of these. The one thing I do like is, you know, you see some of these very low 3-3, 3-3-2s, all of them, you know, less than like a percentage, but still a number of lineups, right? 40 lineups, 33 lineups, 29 lineups, 23 lineups. Maybe you come in here and you're like, you know what? I don't really want to waste 200 lineups from my pool on stack exposures that I would just never play. So what I would recommend is come into my lineup rules and just set a rule and say, you know, stack at least 4. And one of our other team members, one of our other coaches, Chris, shout out to him, showed a good way to do a stacking rule where if you do a stack basic rule and you don't include the pitcher, if you don't check the pitcher slot, it will actually force the lineup not to have the pitcher, which is kind of weird. So what he recommended was doing a rule type stack method advanced, going to pitcher and then setting this greater than or equal to 0, and then setting your catcher. I would actually want to set this to 4. So what I'm saying is, like, hey, based on my stack exposures from my default build, I am pretty sure I want to use at least a 4 stack in every lineup. So then I would do this stack advanced. And then set my pitchers to greater than or equal to 0. So then now in this case, I'm guaranteeing I get at least 4 batters from a team with the option, the greater than or equal to use a pitcher from the same team. So, you know, this saves you, you know, 200 lineups from your 5,000 that you wouldn't have had been willing to play anyways. So I would do something like that. All right. Question from Adam. Hey, Andrew, wouldn't you say ownership is relevant info? In other words, like knowing how the first games came in ownership-wise and how the percentage owned of your lineup still helps build better ones, even if the game itself didn't play out that much. Seems always better to late swap, even in MLB and close lock times if you're around. I think this is a good counterpoint, you know. I would say, you know, this would be a reason to do it, right? So I think, Adam, you know, you make a really good case as to why you would want a late swap within these short windows to take into account that information. I'll say one small note here is that it takes about 10-ish minutes for those CSVs to process. So you might not be able to get it in between like 3:40 and 3:45. But if you wanted to get one in between like 3:45 and 4:07, then, you know, you make a good case for doing that, right? And then kind of you're definitely going to be personally, just due to like time constraints and like family things. So that's, you know, my own thing. But if you're like around and you think like, hey, you know, I'm getting actual ownership, field lineups are rebuilding, I'm able to further squeeze out every possible edge that I see here, you know, I would agree with you, Adam. So I think that is a good reason for late swapping. Jay said, when you do late swap, do you tap a rebuild or just run contest sim again? So what you would do here, if you were going to late swap, is you would first want to click the late swap icon, which is this double-sided arrow pointing two different directions. You have to have a CSV in the app in order for that button to activate. But what I would do is make sure you open up a swap window first. Now, once you use a late swap build, you can continue to use the same swap build for the rest of the night. So every time you would come back into the app, what you would want to do is just click the refresh projections icon, because this just updates the time in the app. So the builder knows, hey, this game has locked now. Hey, that game has locked now. Hey, this game hasn't started yet. So you get the correct players being locked so they can't be put into new or different lineups. So you can use one swap build the entire night, but you just have to refresh the projections to make sure that the times are updating correctly. Texas Trader said, just signed up, found contest, but I can't see any data for the players. So first thing here is, you know, let's say like I'm opening up a brand new slate, right? So, you know, let's say that, hey, I am loaded up into some other sport, right? I log into SaberSim and maybe it loads up MMA from the weekend, right? Well, hey, I don't want to play MMA today. I want to play MLB. So what I do is I go to the top left corner. It's a little date here. It might say loading. You click it. You go to all slates. You go to the correct date for today. You go to the correct sport. And then you go to the correct site. And then once you have all three of these things chosen, the slates for that day for that site are going to load. So then I would go to click the slate that I want to play. And then if you're on the contest tab, what I would do is you need to open up a build. So use one, this plus icon, and then it will open up the build. Now you're going to see that, hey, it looks like there aren't projections, but there are. You just need to come in and sort by the my projection column to get the projections to sort from highest to lowest. So make sure you hit that plus icon if you're on the contest tab, open up a build, sort by projections descending, and then all of the players should load. All right. Follow-up from Adam. Pools. I've been having the builder just make me at least 70% five stacks and at least 200 to 300 five mans of every team on the slate, no matter the size, just to get solid idea for how their ROIs look. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You know, just another thing that you could do here, right, is you could always use the favorites tab, you know, in case you guys aren't familiar with it. So say you want to build, you know, a subset of your lineups in one way and then a different set of your lineups a different way. Well, you can do that using this star icon, right? So what happens here is I set up, you know, build one with certain rules and different things that I want to do. I build, you know, maybe I need 150 lineups. Well, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to set this number to 75. I want half of my lineups to look this particular way. And then once I'm happy with these lineups, what I would do here is click the star icon. Now, what that does is it's going to take these 75 lineups and send them to this favorites tab, which is now active. And then when I come in here, I'm going to see, hey, there are 75 lineups here. So that's great. And then I can go into build two, build 75 different lineups with different, you know, logic. Send those 75 lineups here. I'll have 150, and then I can save them to a single contest altogether. So that's another way of, you know, coming at a build from different directions and combining these different ways that, you know, you want to build into a single contest. So I just wanted to piggyback off you there. All right. Jay said, I tried late swap a few days ago after initially making my lineups and had to late swap when I wanted to upload lineups for late swap Excel opened up and wouldn't let me upload. Can you show how to upload? Yeah, I don't have a CSV here at the moment. So let me see what we can do here. So let me just go and put in like an entry fee real quick. I'll do something. Let's do this night slate since we already have some lineups built here. All right, just getting a quick CSV for the night slate for tonight. Okay, boom, all set. All right, so first thing, coming into the night slate, right? Go to contest, go to download template file from DraftKings. If you have to make sure that you are logged into DraftKings on the same browser that you are using SaberSim, and then it will download the CSV for you. You drag and drop it into the app here. Okay, great. I go, I build my lineups. Well, you know, when I'm happy with my lineups, I'm going to go to save to my contest. I'm going to make sure I have a method chosen up here in the top right corner. Once I am ready, I'm going to click save. You're going to see the source update. It's going to say build one and then give you a timestamp. So just make sure you know the time is the same time as it is for you currently. That means that the lineups were put into the contest correctly. And then I'm going to click download selected entries. Now, one thing before that, one of the easiest things to do here to make sure you are on the right page to upload is to turn on this toggle in the top right menu that says, we will automatically open the correct page that you need to be on in order to upload your entry. So I click download, DK pops up here, and then boom, now I'm on the right page that I need to be on. And then I just click upload CSV, and then I go and I grab the file that I just downloaded for SaberSim, successfully uploaded one of one. So that is how you do that. So that is the easiest way to do it, in my opinion. And then it works the same for late swap, right? The only difference with late swap is that the method will say late swap and it won't give you this drop down, but you're still going to come in, click save, click download, and then upload to the DFS site. So that is how that works. But all right, nice long show today. Happy to do a long show, especially on like a little bit of a slower day here with not that much DFS action, but a lot of questions here over the weekend. So happy to help you guys out. Again, congrats to the winners for the birdie battle. Our team will be reaching out to you. And I will be right back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.